Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
If you want access to the Discord community and our entire premium content, hit it up right now. Patreon.com/redpilltamales or rockfin.com/redpilltamales. Sass.
The days we give the babysitter the day off,
yeah,
it gets real hectic in the morning. This is RPT, Red Pill Tamales. I know my kids were running a PSYOP. I think my kids are secretly intelligence agency, like little spy kids, like the fucking movie, except they doing an insurrection in my house.
It's like
a state within a state.
It's a coup. They're trying to run a coup in
the house. Yeah, they doing a coup d'etat. I thought I was in charge. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know what, Daddy? I think I am going to go to school. I was like, she's like, yeah, I'm not that sick after all. Just give me a little bit of medicine. I go upstairs, brush my teeth. We go, cool. You drop me off. You can make it to work.
The Gucci.
And I'm just like, bro, I still got to run and get diapers. It's a lot going on in the behind the scenes production of RPT. As you can see, we got it nicely dim up in here. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Rob has on a badass Santa Claus hat.
Hello, everybody.
Sancho Claus.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep it on the DL, though. You know what I'm saying? Can only be slinging it, you know, on the DL.
Yeah, he's, you know, some of them reindeer.
Te traigo tu presente.
He like reindeer can't talk if I harass them.
Yeah, I like them reindeer games, though. You know what I'm saying?
Reindeer games. But yeah, what happened?
What happened?
I think my headphones cut out. Yeah. Oh. Whoa, that freaked me out. I thought everything. I was like, I'm officially deaf now. Check. Okay. I guess it got a little, it's loose. Any slight wiggle.
I got a list. It is a game changer. I got a list of things that we're going to upgrade going into the new year for the studio. So if you want to support and get bonus content, where can they get it, Jingo?
Patreon.com/redpilltamales. Become a member of the THEA, the only intelligence agency that gives a jam.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to patreon.com/redpilltamales. And there's different tiers. Don't get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But there's a $1 tier where you get to be in the popping ass Discord chat room.
Yep.
24/7. Matter of fact, 25/8.
You know, while you're there, go ahead and leave a review and a rating on iTunes. We're going to start reading those, some of the best ones. It's in our group. I don't know if you want to rush to your phone, Chingo, but I sent Chingo My Soul one that's in Spanish. And it kind of hits different when it's in Spanish, right? So I'll send it to Chingo again so he can read it a little bit later on the podcast. But if you have one, it's a good review. We'll read it on the podcast. We'll give you a shout out, whatever your Apple
name
is.
Oh, so it's a review in Spanish.
Yeah. Okay. So it's in our group for me, you, and Soul. And it was one of those reviews, you know, and one of those ratings where it's like a 5-star rating and a review that kind of embodies what we've been trying to accomplish here at RPT for almost 2 years now.
Right, let me see. No, that's something. Oh, okay. El comentario aquí from Tijuana 74, and it says muy chingones. Me fascina el modo de su comentario. Está puro fuego. Okay, I don't know about the Spanish, bro.
Hey, it's still in Spanish.
Yeah, I don't know. This might be intelligence agency right here. Está puro fuego. I wouldn't have said it like that, but hey, I'm not going to call you a fed out the gate. Sigue echando para adelante, mi compita. Usted es un tipo de revolucionario que hace mucha falta en nuestra comunidad, compadre, como latinoamericanos y como miembros de la sociedad que es USA. Usted sí es un verdadero orgullo hispano. Bendiciones. Este güey no es fed. Este güey es inteligente, güey. He knows talent. He appreciates
all of a sudden. He ain't a fed. He's talent. He
appreciates a good show.
He's puro feria team.
You know, he likes a good show. He likes to talk about tamales. Let's dive into something very controversial.
Hit it.
These are kitchen table subjects. All right, Rob, what is your beef with ketchup on tamales?
I just don't think it's a good mixture. All right. Mm-hmm. The only thing that ketchup goes on are three things. It's burgers, fries, and eggs. And that's just me.
Okay. Now, you see why it's like a game show. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's why we got a dim up in here. Fantastic. All right, moving on. Next question. Dun. Robert.
Yes.
Dun. Where were you on January 6th? Okay, now, mayo.
Here,
on
actually.
Mayonesa on tamales.
I don't like mayonesa on anything. Nothing.
Wow.
I think it's one of the most disgusting condiments.
Wow.
Right up there with mustard.
Have you ever had it with ceviche on a tostada, Tijuana style? Like,
Never.
Baja California style?
I don't like ceviche because I don't like onions and all that shit. I don't like onions, tomatoes.
Okay, so now you're missing out on the world of ceviche. Okay. So you don't like condiments. Oh, dressing on a salad.
Dressing on a salad, no. We also don't do dressing on a salad. It's too many calories.
Oh, my God.
We get,
yeah, but it has nothing to do with taste, though, right? It has nothing to do with the taste palate.
I don't really like the taste of, like, man, this is like a vinaigrette, maybe, right? You know, it's a little, it's light. It's kind of, like, you know, oily and kind of tart and sour. But I don't like that shit. Ranch and all, people that douse their salads in ranch, what are you doing?
Oh, you would hate Jersey Mike's, Mike's style, Mike's way.
I'll tell you why I'll hate it. Because Chingo sends me a picture. He's like, Juan didn't care for it much, but this is what you got to order. I said, which way is that? You said Mike's way, right? Is it called Mike's way?
Or? Yeah, yeah. I can't remember if Juan opted out
and
played it safe.
The way Chingo described it, like he does many foods, he goes into detail, but the part that really stuck out was that they drench it in all of the dressings.
It's like a red wine vinegar, and there's something about the acidity of that, and then the mouthfeel of like that oil,
yeah,
right? And then once you hit it with the like little oregano Italian spices on top, like little aromatics.
Okay.
So now you've taken a good fresh bread, and now it's as if you just dipped it in a little bit of oil with that stuff in it. So now it just adds, it amplifies the whole, you know, obviously it lubricates the sandwich as well.
Sometimes you need lubrication.
You know what I'm saying? Just like mayo. That's a hell of a food lube.
You know, hell of a food lube.
Yeah, well, tamales. Look at tamales. Tamales, that masa got to have a lot of fat in it, which in a way is a lubricant. Otherwise, you're going to be choking on dry-ass cornmeal.
Yeah, but if the meat's juicy like it's supposed to be. Like,
yeah, but the masa can't be dry, bro.
No, you're right. The masa can't be dry.
It can't be fat-free. That dog ain't
I'm not fat-free. I'm not about fat-free whatsoever.
So go on about these tamales, because you about to...
My brother said... So we went to this spot, and I was in San Marcos. San Marcos? Yeah, I was in New Braunfels, San Marcos over the weekend, visiting some family. We went to this poppin' taco shop called Lolia's? Lolies? I think it was Lolies. Mm-hmm. He called it Lola's. His wife said it was Lolies. Whatever. Fantastic. The line was like a Starbucks line. And my brother said, nah, fuck that. We're going to walk up. It's literally probably the size of like a room, like a 10 by 10. You have about 9 Mexicans in there, and they're all speaking Spanish. Like, mija, si, hija, acá, por favor, tráeme eso. You know, they're all just doing their thing. They got like a system. They got like that early McDonald's system from that doc where it shows you how the McDonald's, you know, mm-hmm. was founder, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And it was bomb. That was a bomb. But the point was that he goes, if I wait right here, I've done it before because I don't want to get out of my car. There's an hour wait in your car for these tacos. We go up. We just park behind it. There was nobody at the window. You could order at the window, kind of like walking into a Starbucks, which I choose to do because fuck a Starbucks line. Mm-hmm. We got him in 10 minutes, and mm-hmm. we just left.
It's like a separate small. It's a separate kitchen.
No,
it's like a separate like you were saying, the way they got the layout.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they had the window. You know, like for instance, do you go to a Starbucks window often? If it's long, or what do you do?
Well, no, you're right, because Starbucks, they got like two little teams. It's like A team, B team.
Exactly.
So you got some people like, hey, man, we on drive-thru.
Yeah.
Don't be calling me over there to check up. Do y'all have the impossible breakfast sandwich?
Yeah. So do you think it's just laziness or people just aren't aware of that?
No, like...
If the line is like outside of the meaning, shopping strip.
So like, for example, like if the drive-thru is crazy, do you walk into the store? I try that. I do that.
Okay. You're smart man.
Yeah,
though.
I do that.
Smart man.
Because for me, I think about it like they got two separate teams in it.
Yeah, but so we had tacos, and the day before that we had tamales, and I forgot where he got those from, another spot in San Marcos, and they were good. He was like, you got to squeeze fresh lemon on them. Never done that. Don't really care for lemon in my water or my food, so I'll have to try it eventually, I guess.
You ever had a Greek salad from Papa's Seafood with some motherfucking lemon on that?
Never.
Bitch, with the feta cheese and a...
I do, boy. Like feta. Feta?
You fuck with olives? Probably not.
Hate olives.
Okay, see? You got a long list of stuff you don't fuck with.
She likes blue cheese stuffed olives. Yeah. You ever had those?
I don't think I ever had that.
That's her favorite.
But you ever had a wedge salad with that blue cheese on that thing?
I don't like blue cheese.
Real quick, we want to take time to shout out our sponsors. Shout out to, man, this is family, bro. These are the homies. Y'all know I still put out singles from time to time. I'm always complaining I don't get in the studio enough. But when I do, and I want to release a hot track to all my listeners on Apple Music, Spotify, I make sure I deal with my people. So South Music Distribution, you know, they handle all the digital. And, dude, they deal business to business. They deal with artists.
you know, mainly. So it's not even really something that the average listener can really take advantage of per se. However, you can go on there and shop on their website. They got vinyl, some classic titles and special releases and stuff like that. Follow them on Instagram, SoSouthTX. But even though they mainly deal with like global distribution of artists and things like that, they're like, hey, we want to show love to the podcast. We work with you already. We support what you do, support your voice, and, you know, keep it going. So we appreciate the love. So South, make sure you follow them on Instagram, SoSouthTX. And of course, hit up the website, SoSouth.com. If you're an artist and you need services like marketing, consulting, they do all that too. They make sure they get all your royalties, all your publishing in more markets. They even submit your music for like movies, television, commercials, and media. Go get some more info right now. Hit up the website, SoSouth.com. Big friends of the podcast and big friends in real life. We do a lot of business together. And go stream my old catalog, all my old titles, brought to you by So South. Get on Spotify, go on Apple Music. So South, make sure all my music is everywhere when you're looking for it. Much love. Back to the show.
This motherfucker. Yes, and motherfucker, you're supposed to improvise and build on to the scene. Yes, and
I'm getting
yes,
to
I like
it.
Yes, I like feta it. And blue cheese.
I do like feta. I said okay. Yes, feta and
goat. I'm fucking with you, but I love talking about food, and it's also a good reminder that like everything's subjective. Everybody has different taste buds. Like my wife, she'll be like, "Oh my god, olives are disgusting," or like tomatoes in a certain form.
Talking about food. You do love food. You're a foodie like a motherfucker.
I
kind
of just look at it like from a science side. Now, when you were telling me about the Hill Country restaurant having all that, an hour wait, what the hell am I doing with a political podcast? That's a gold mine.
Yeah.
What they got going on over there, mm-hmm. Bro.
We spent $70 on tacos.
You had... Oh, my God. The economics of it. Like, I don't know. Maybe their rent is higher than, like, if you were just, on, you know... Just on the north side somewhere, or whatever.
You think the little shop would be higher?
Yeah, no. Like I'm factoring in economics. Like the way I picture that Central Texas area now,
mm-hmm. It's so nice.
It reminds me of places in California where it's like you got the wineries and you know mm-hmm. The city is not that far, but you know a lot of these big tech motherfuckers are starting the yuppies.
They are actually. They're
yeah,
big
and it's
time.
The same thing where it's kind of like you might see someone who's lived. For like 10 generations in Canyon Lake or something. And then all of a sudden, you sound like the gentrifier in this equation. Oh yeah. I love to show up, but,
facts.
Yeah. So like somebody who just is like 10 generations deep in Canyon Lake, and then you get a different culture coming in, you know, like on some, we being invaded.
Pretty much, I'm sure that's how they see it, dude. Because with all this, like the moving, like Central Texas area, like they've seen some of the biggest spikes in people moving there since 2020 than anywhere else in Texas.
My sister, my brother-in-law were going to buy a house. They were like super close to buying a house in the Hill Country. Probably, if I had to guess, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oof, but that'd be fucking a gold mine.
Well, they were like about to pull the trigger, and I don't know what happened. Like, oh, he was out of the country, and they needed those papers signed, and they sold it to someone else. It was some type of little loophole, like
sketch.
Yeah, to where they wouldn't accept my sister's signature for the thing because he's the man. Something he was out of town, and in this case, I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. It was probably he was out of the country, but yeah, bro, about 10 years ago, like yeah, it was high, but not probably how like it is now.
Would you have considered buying a house out there 10 years ago or now even? In Central Texas or anywhere, even in the Hill Country-ish area?
Oof, 10 years ago is not a good time, sir.
what are we at 10 years
for
ago?
For me, motherfucker.
Yeah, you're right.
For me.
What about now?
Looking forward. Well, now, well, yeah, of course. It's who wouldn't? It's like more real estate, the better, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, would you like 1,000 acres? Yeah, I'll take it. Want an island? Fuck yeah. But it's like...
You want a bunker underneath
it? But it's
it?
Like, are y'all ready to move out of the city? Like, are y'all about to go to the boonies now? Or are you just going to do... Just go up north a little bit, Montgomery County?
Right. You do
get
like
up out of Harris
area.
County?
You do like that area.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know a bunch of people. Like, for example, you got a 10th Planet in New Caney.
Mm-hmm.
And then for like a lot of startup homes and shit, like for other people, that like it's growing... Where like Humble, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. You got these like little young construction workers and shit, like high school sweetheart, boom, hey, check it out. Hey, we got a nice garage. Like, it's new.
Yeah.
You got a yard. Ain't nobody shooting and shit in the right. middle of the night. Well, an umbo, yeah, maybe a couple of little gunshots. But, and then you have, another jiu-jitsu gym in Magnolia. You know what I'm saying? So, like.
Yeah. You got
so
options.
To raise a family, yeah. right? Like, there's probably going to be a legit church out there, and you're going to have access to some jiu-jitsu gyms where, depending on where you're at, you, maybe 20 minutes.
That's not bad. Yeah, it's not bad.
You know. But, yeah, we're already far from the rest of our family, so.
You know, sometimes it's not a bad thing. You know what I'm saying?
It depends on your situation.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes it's not a bad thing.
Damn, right?
I'm just kidding.
Lord have mercy.
Just kidding.
They're probably like,
everybody.
Motherfucker, we ain't trying to visit you anyway.
You're right. You're right. They guys sure ain't. They sure ain't.
All right, so Brandon tweeted some shit. What the hell Brandon tweeted?
Let me pull it up, actually. I want to see, because sometimes, like, I don't know. How do you think he gets up and goes to Twitter? Do you think that he's given something and then he tweets it?
Or he ain't tweeting, bro. Come on.
You don't think he's tweeting anything?
Empty suit.
Empty suit.
This is what the deep state needs. They need somebody that's, they got blackmail on him, and he ain't all there, and we gonna hide him in the basement. He ain't gonna campaign, and you know what I'm saying? He's down to play ball. He's 10% for the big guy.
10%, at least.
10% for the big guy.
Let's see here. Thanks to American inequality, American engineers and American auto workers, we're making it.
Hey, that's one thing about Joe.
Ingenuity,
bro.
Sorry.
Hey, that's one thing. Just cut you off. That's one thing about Joe Biden, bro. He ain't greedy, bro. He could have been like, man, I need 20%. 25% for, you know what, 40% for the big guy.
You think that would have been too obvious, though?
He was like, just, 10, you know, little 10. He's like, man, let me just, you know what I'm talking about? Like, just wet my hand real quick.
What do music managers take, right?
He was like, let me just skim.
Yeah, just give me a little bit off the top. And get my beak wet, as they say.
You know, we got a lot of expenses. They take a little bit more off the top.
This motherfucker said, because of American ingenuity, not inequity, American engineers and American auto workers, we're making it easier to buy American-made electric vehicles. And we're just getting started. This is hilarious, because Juan and I were just having this conversation. Just talking about EVs, and this is totally not even on today's topics, but I want to ask you, because I've never asked you, what do you really think about the EV explosion for automakers? Not even like really thinking about the going green part of it, but just like electric vehicles and the push for everybody to have one, and that this is like the decade for going green and electric cars and all that shit.
Boy, that's a loaded question, bro.
It sure is.
You asked me about 10 things.
Let's get some virality out of this segment
about some
right here.
10 things, yeah, motherfucker, be viral.
Be viral.
You got 15 seconds. It's like you work at TV. It's like you on TV. And what do you think, Chingo Bling? We have a guest here, Chingo Bling. What do you think?
You have 10 seconds and go.
And in the book Fossil Future by Alex Epstein, you know, there's so much to unpack there. But for the most part, because you said, how do you see the explosion? You know, how do you justify all of a sudden there's alleged demand? Mm-hmm. Not to mention that you have probably all type of subsidies with taxpayer money, mm-hmm. subsidizing, trying to incentivize General Motors and them to like, hey, man, bro, we trying to keep the narrative going.
Yeah.
It ain't working unless y'all at least pretend to want to make a little fucking Volt or whatever, mm-hmm. an EV. And it's like, all right, what's in it for us? What's in it for the little guy? And they give them like some type of incentives and like tax subsidies and stuff. A lot of them big companies got it. Elon Musk too, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
do you like EV? Like the world of EVs? Like, think it's a good idea?
From what I've learned thus far, as of late, I'm not a big fan of it. The idea sounds great, especially mm-hmm. when you're framing it in a way that humans. Every time human affects the climate, that's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. We have an anti-human bias. Another thing that they try to say is they say, well, our ancestors, Rob, mm-hmm. had all, you know, Mother Earth was giving them more plentiful, right? Because we're humans and we're abusing and we're wasteful and there's arguably less now while you're polluting. You're using more. As if it's finite, right?
Right.
As if there's not enough. You're using more. And it's like, okay, so you're telling me that the people in 1883 and 1923 had it better than us, where you can sustain billions of people and a lot of people were able to get out of poverty. It's like a poverty vaccine.
Right.
That's one of the best ways I heard it framed. It's a poverty vaccine, fossil fuels, which that was a brand, that was a label that was created. So in other words,
a poverty vaccine. That's
it's
a
like a poverty vaccine. Millions and billions, billions and billions, billions. And billions. It's going to be huge. were able to lift out of, you know, you're right, able to have, right. you're able to energize poor people in these, in all these countries. So if you're telling me that the people in 1883 had more resources than us in modern day, and no, what it is humans affect the climate by turning unusable natural resources into functional, practical poverty vaccine-like uses. Mm. Meaning, you're telling me that the people running around fighting Comanches on horseback, I'm like, y'all were running around on top of oil that y'all didn't know what to do with until, you know, the combustion engine, and until this industry to now modern day, you could just have a drone drop off a fucking Amazon Uber Eat.
That's true. Are you looking forward to that, when you can have a drone just drop your package off over your house?
Yeah, this is gonna be like an old man moment where I'm like, I don't trust those damn drones. Like, Grandpa's always, he's pointing at the drones again.
He's always looking at the sky, screaming.
Yeah, mételo. Yeah, mételo.
He's shaking his fist at the drones. Yeah, yeah. Like Grandpa Simpson.
Pinche drones. No, te estoy diciendo, nos están espiando. Mija, you're being surveilled. Hey, the internet. Dad. There's censorship on the internet. Hey, he's worried about the drone.
Let's get you your warm milk.
Yeah.
Come inside. Let's get you your warm cup of milk. Tu cafecito con tu panecito.
Let's watch Matlock.
MASH.
Dukes of Hazzard.
Fuck yeah. Shout out to General Lee. It's a charger, not a challenger.
Yeah, no, I heard that episode. You were right.
But staying on the subject. So I told Juan in 2000, I said, I was like, I don't see this. I don't like the whole boom of the electric vehicle because I don't think it's practical, right? Obviously, I'm not a scholar of any sort, but when it comes to like applications of like, we're going to have all government fleets, all UPS FedEx trucks, all semi trucks, everybody in there is going to have, you know, every common suburban, you know, mother and father are going to have electric vehicles. And it just, none of it has ever made any sense. Ever, 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 ever. Teslas are cool. I think they're fast. They're like little go-karts.
It used to make sense to me.
How so?
In a lot of ways. It sounded great.
Or what aspect of it, I guess?
I was told, the opinion was assigned to me based on data that no one was allowed to see that mm-hmm. was synthesized by someone else, which is propagated out to mm-hmm. media. And I didn't even understand how the media worked. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, the opinion was assigned to me that these were going to be healthier and better and greener, and it's going to save the environment, and we can save and be efficient. Right? Because mm-hmm. When you go to camp, little summer camp or whatever, they're like, y'all got to quick with the showers because we all about conservation.
Right.
Or whatever, right? They trying to teach you all that stuff. So yeah, I had already been primed and, ¿cómo se dice, güey? Me asustaron, güey. El pinche mundo se va a acabar, compadre. Hey, we got 12 years, homie. Ya dijo AOC.
Every 12 years is every 12 years.
Or they're like, we're going to freeze. No, it's going to be too hot. Too much carbon, too much CO2. And it's like, too much plant food? No.
No. You got it all wrong, Jingle Boy.
Oh, dude. My jiu-jitsu coach.
I love this guy. I want to meet this guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's a great instructor. Oh, by the way, I don't know if y'all heard, but I got my two stripes. Two stripes.
Holla.
Two stripes.
Two.
Anybody need two stripes, holla at me. So that was a nice surprise. So we were like sweating our asses off. This is probably like last week in the bodega. We're drilling, and I forget what the hell we had to do at the end, some type of gauntlet of some sort. And he's like, oh, I just want to remind y'all that it's like December 15th or whatever it was. And y'all are all super sweaty. You know, like just that little joke about the weather, like Houston. It's a Houston type of joke.
Yeah.
It's so erratic. And I think someone did say climate change. Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And boom, he just busted out real quick. Sas, ¿cuál talking point de hoy, compadre? ¿Cuál pinche talking point quieres? And it was like, actually, all the climates of all the planets in the solar system are changing. It has nothing to do with you. Anyway, moving on. So here's what we're doing. And I was like, yeah, good. Because you have a lot of pseudoscience and junk science. I'll give you an example. So remember how with COVID, they would say people might have it. But you won't know.
Yes.
You might be laying in the bed with your wife. She might have it. You won't even know. She might even take a test. Still won't know. Anybody could get it, right?
Right.
Now what are they doing with mental health and suicide? Check up on your friend, even though they go to church, even though they go to jiu-jitsu, even though they say, if something happens to me, it was foul play. Because I'm hopeful for the future. Mm. Like, check up on your friend. And then there's memes. And of course, TikTok's going to amplify it. And if Big Pharma can stick their cuchara, hell yeah, we could sell more of these medicines. Now, my sister sent me that meme. She's like, look, I don't know. I just want to check up on everybody. Because according to this meme, she's like, I've been seeing this a lot. And it says, check up on your friend, the strong friend that says, I got it and I'm good. In other words, anybody could have it. And right. It won't show up on the test. Even if they're telling you, I'm on my way to church.
Right.
I love jujitsu.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, God, jujitsu family. Okay, family right there with jujitsu. Okay, they're neck and neck.
But I'm still checking up on
God,
you.
God, jujitsu family.
That's the shirt right there.
God, jujitsu family. And then country.
And then country.
Anyway, so I'm like, I pretty much said, hey, there's a lot of propaganda that will help the profits of Big Pharma. They come to benefit from this stuff spreading. Celebrities love to virtue signal and possibly even get paid on behalf of some like third party thing, especially what we've learned about how Fauci and the NIH and everybody with Peter Daszak, Ralph Baric, University of North Carolina, like, they the money circulating. It's one of those where it's like, bro, you want to be a fucking scientist? Are you trying to figure out how you own a piece of a patent and get you a yacht?
Line them pockets.
You know what I'm talking about? Be like, yay.
How many bags?
Shit.
How many bags you need?
Shit, even Dr. Robert Malone got a yacht. He ain't tripping. He got a couple patents.
It's true.
And they censored him, even though he helped come up with the technology to make this gene therapy, mRNA, that they use and calling it a jab. But anyway, I told my sister, I'm like, you know, I basically said, beware of the fucking, they trying to sign opinions out here. And then I started looking at the meme and I'm like, okay, here's where we could probably maybe quiz your memory. Now the meme had, man, rest in peace, Mac Miller. Mm-hmm. It had Mac Miller on there, like the little collage. It had the new guy. And she even said too, like, you know, with everything that happened with Twitch, with Ellen.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, I'm just hearing so much about it. I'm just checking up on everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And everybody, people mean well, right? And I'm not picking on people. I'm just going into it because I'm looking at it. I'm the paranoid uncle that looks at everything as like for example, when I took this class in college called mass communication and media or something like that. It was like part of my minor. And basically the assignment was pick a campaign like U.S. Army, Army of One, okay, for example, and deconstruct it and break it down. Mm-hmm. So now I'm applying that worldview of mine where I understand how science can be bought in pseudoscience. Remember Tom Cruise went viral again recently when he said, no, you don't understand SSRIs. It just masks the problem. There's no fulfillment there. Like, I know, he's like, dude.
He talked about that again?
To Matt Lauer. No, it's old,
oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's circulating.
Yeah, right. Why are you being glib?
Because apparently, I guess some new data is unveiled that all the while Big Pharma knew that the antidepressants, that it was junk science, that there's no such thing as chemical imbalance.
I did see that, yeah.
Basically, right? That's the new thing. But like, how many doctors were trying to push the la vacuna
right
on us? I mean, I had to go to urgent care, stick the thing up my nose when I did the thing for HBO. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing this jacket, matter of fact. And the lady from the doctor from the urgent care is like, oh, sir, you're not. Mm-mm, no, should I be? Because what's the mortality rate? Like, I'd rather take my chances with them little sniffles everybody getting or whatever.
What'd you say?
But, sir, you know, and I was like, so is it 100% effective or whatever? Like, isn't it at the moment, aren't they now down to 94%? Efficacy or whatever. Trying to be smart. Yeah, hey, pero tú dime la efficacy. ¿Qué es la efficacy? No, está pendeja, pinche eje. El pinche efficacy, ya lo vi. Jorge Ramos told me the efficacy. And how many doctors, my wife was pregnant. They're like, no, it's good for the baby, man. You good. That way you don't want to get COVID.
Yeah.
And we were like, it don't even stop that. Oh, those are breakthrough cases.
And then that shit wasn't even like, it wasn't understood by them, because when here recently over the last month or two, where people have testified from these companies and these makers and the people that were pushing it, and they asked them that direct question. What was, do you remember exactly what it was? Where it's like, prior to, you know, XYZ, did you know that this jab wouldn't, you know, wouldn't stop.
We hope
transmission, right? We hope. Is that what they said?
Oh, I know Burks, the lady with the scarves that was behind Trump.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Every time Trump was up there, she. And he was like, right, we can use a light as a disinfectant, right? It gets in the body. It kills it, right? You have to ask a doctor, but it could be inserted maybe through a tube with the help of a doctor. I'm talking about light.
UV light.
They cut the light part out.
Yeah. So, you know, I think about this all the time, dude, because I still see people that wear the mask in their car and mm-hmm. all these crazy kind of things. And to go back to the doctors you were talking about that were pushing this, what happened that everybody just, like, not everybody, because there were a lot of dissenters in the medical world, but those people were immediately taken off social media, right? They were taken off the internet. So you really couldn't find them if you wanted to, like the groups or individuals like Dr. Malone or whoever, or the Pierre Corey and his group of people. I forgot what they're called. It's slipping my mind. But everyone else, they were like, all right, I don't want to lose my paycheck. I don't want to lose my career. I don't want to lose my position of where am I at. So I'm just going to go along with this. And now more and more, especially if you saw Died Suddenly on Rumble, it's free, go watch it. And you see more and more of the articles coming out all the time. I mean, just yesterday or day before yesterday, the Canadian health minister of whatever dies at 35 randomly of a heart attack.
I guess heart attacks are up for young people.
Heart attacks are up beyond belief when it comes to young people.
It's because climate change.
It is because of climate change and inequities and inequality and racism.
Not enough
and
diversity.
White privilege and not enough. Yeah, all that stuff. But no, really, like that shit really makes me think. And when I go on Twitter, I mean, I hope at one point we have no more bots. But some of the replies to the Twitter files are like, oh, part 7 of the nothing burger, right? Or all this kind of shit. I'm
Fuck
like, hey. What? Okay, I think yeah. It's entertaining, but if you read it and you can make...
Those are probably bots, bro.
Yeah, but it's a lot of them, dude. It's still a ton. Like, when Matt Taibbi dropped 6, it was the same thing. It was like, you're not tired of, like, these nothing burgers? Like, what? Your credibility is completely gone. And then 7 drops.
They threw him under the bus bad.
Dude, it is crazy.
Like, imagine doing PR for the richest man in the world.
Like, where's Caitlyn Jenner getting on to him?
It's like, MSNBC, shut your bitch ass up. Turn Twitter off.
Imagine doing commentary for the richest man in the world.
That's all the, yeah.
I'm a nice
carrying
lady.
Water for white supremacists.
I'm a classy lady.
Yeah. I'm more of a classy traditional gal.
But yeah, dude, like people are still falling in line and it's almost like they're priming a large portion of the population to brace themselves because this will happen again and you'll have friends and family that won't agree with you, you know, but you've been through it before. Like you made it through, you did what you had to do to protect your community and, you know, they might not. So you're going to have to make a decision.
You know, there might be election deniers who were probably in favor of J6.
I mean, yesterday, the J6 committee, you know, searches for or pushes for whatever criminal, yeah. You know, charges. I'm like, you're still on this.
They're trying to hamstring Trump.
Bro.
Teflon Donnie.
So again, while we bring up Trump, too, we got to bring up the fucking NFT thing. What we haven't talked about
like
on the podcast.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people on the right were like, bro, he got a fire. Whoever was in charge of picking the same day. And then, hold on. All right. That's the thing about QAnon, dog, is like the way stuff is presented. And now, like you, my instructor, he, you know what I'm talking about?
He a little bit on the Q.
He cool with Q.
He cool, oh, yeah, all he the cool way. With Q?
Yeah, he's cool with Q.
I don't think I'd say that too confidently into the camera. All the way. He's confident with Q all the way.
Yes. I mean, so is Bayartes, Vic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Discord?
But here's the point I'm trying to make.
Hey, Vic, don't rile him up, all right?
No, this is what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is... like people were reading into it like, oh, it's a Trump card. It's a wink. Like not only did he make like hella millions of dollars in a 24 hour or whatever. It was like ridiculous. Like they were like $99 each. He sold all of them, the NFTs.
Did he?
Yeah. Like he made like millions of dollars in SAS, yun chingaso way.
All right.
So number one, it wasn't a bad move financially.
Probably just rolled out a little weird.
But he did roll out something very important simultaneously, and that kind of threw everything off. You know, it was the Digital Bill of Rights.
Right.
Where he was basically saying he laid it out bullet point by bullet point, like the big tech oligarchs, the censorship cartel, like we have to, you know, break up these monopolies who are obviously in cahoots with, you know, that basically they can be colluding with the government to attack and silence your voice. Lawful speech.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, saying what you just said, that's constitutionally protected. However, as we've already said, the Section 230 stuff, but however, for whatever, you got the government, intelligence agencies, and everybody else. A lot of people had a plug at Twitter. Like, say you were Fauci, and you ain't want certain doctors to be heard. Or say you had something to gain from school closures. Well, the main doctor that's saying school closures are bad, shut him up.
Right.
Just so happens Fauci's daughter work up there. But we saw, like, a ton of intelligence agency. First of all, them Twitter files are like mixtapes. It's like, you ain't heard Twitter 5? Oh, man, I'm still on Twitter 4. Oh, man, Twitter 6 finna drop. Boy, we on Twitter 7.
Well, speaking of, so...
It's like the Carter and shit.
You've definitely read them all, right? I'm assuming.
Or pretty much, yeah.
Them, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was picking up on 6, and then you told me yesterday when I saw yesterday afternoon that, man, 7 just dropped. Another hot, you know, batch, number 7. So... I have it in the notes. So 6 was basically Twitter. That this is the way Matt Taibbi titled it. The thread was the FBI subsidiary was 6. And then 7 was the FBI and the Hunter Biden laptop story, right? So if you haven't read 1 through 5, do so. I'm pretty sure most of the people listening to this have. But to see the comments on those two, just 6 and 7 that came out recently, that like the FBI, I mean, what are you talking about? Like, they're just protecting like people on these platforms. It's like the concept of who the group of people are, the FBI, and who social media is and their interactions isn't getting through to some people of why that's not how it's supposed, it's not a good thing. It's not supposed to,
yeah, because, you know? Then you have like a state within a state.
Yeah.
I guess they're just a little slow. Maybe they don't have all, I don't know what the fuck, bro. They don't have all the facts or something, to where they're just kind of like I'll see that dude Ted Lieu and about a bunch of left like Democrat type accounts, and they, you know, they nothing burger it. They're just like, okay, so apparently. However, I will push back and say this. Some of the stuff revealed in some of those Twitter files, 7, or one of those, where Joel Roth and some of the Twitter people started getting, they started pushing back a little bit to the feds, basically saying like, dog, they keep wanting these warrantless searches. And it had a name, it was like some abbreviation, like 3-letter thing, which basically meant like, you got to hand over some shit, even though we ain't got a warrant. And they started kind of pushing back a little bit, like, hey, or they, somebody wanted somebody kicked off, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, I really don't see how this is a VIO or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So in other words, I don't want to sit up here and paint it. Like if this was a novella, if this was a series, which it should be.
It is.
Which it should be, right? I mean, it's a real life one. It makes it real and interesting that they weren't always 100% in accord. It was always one of those like, who's gonna backstab who? Mm-hmm. Or like, damn, are we in too deep? Or you know too much. Okay, well, I know too much and you typed it first, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or I emailed it. Once they want to WikiLeaks all this shit, dude, can you imagine, bro, from the time Elon bought Twitter and was able to look under the hood a little bit, because you got to look at code, you're trying to figure out, where were all these little woke millennial Marxists who never showed up to work? And what the fuck were they up to?
They were all just feds.
It's just kind of like, who do I got to... How many feds, right? It was like, oh, they had a whole fed fraternity of like, hey, welcome. We're going to... So you could be acclimated to things here on campus, right? And then I got a homeboy that works at Apple. And I used to think like, man, this motherfucker, man, he probably work harder than a bitch. Now I see how big tech... I know Twitter's probably the exception, right? Apple still got to make profit and everything else.
Yeah. How many FBI agency think there is?
This is you got a number?
I have a number, but this is just obviously the first thing Google pulls up. So
I think it was like at least 80.
It's actually less than half of that.
Really?
35,000 employees is what Google.
Wait, how many feds though? And ex-feds?
Well, when you type in how many FBI agents are there, it says 35,000.
Current? 35,000?
Yeah.
For the country?
Yes.
Okay, well, how many work at Twitter?
Oh, no. I was talking about I was going to ease into like more of the FBI stuff, just like in general. Like, how, so, because my thinking is, I don't think they would tell us how many there are.
Oh, meaning there's agents that you, like, you got a lot of power, bro. You like... Damn near above the law. You bitch, you flash,
exactly, yeah.
Flash that fucking badge real fast.
And if they need a 21 Jump Street, some of this shit, like they have people in there, exactly. You're just not gonna know. You're not supposed to know.
How many 21 Jump Street motherfuckers they got?
I would say double this. Like if there's 35, there's another 35 that we don't know.
How many of them 87,000 IRS really alphabet boys?
About 86,000 of them.
And then they work with the CIA.
Exactly.
And that's a whole nother.
And the annual budget for the FBI, do you wanna take a guess.
Boy, we ain't on the list by now.
We were already there. We're just trying to make light of this guy.
The AI is like, it's going to be hard to torture these two.
How much do you think the annual budget is? Just throw a number out there.
Oh, my God. $2 billion or something?
No.
What is it?
It's $9.7 billion.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, man. You know, they got to police us.
That's crazy.
You know, we can't be out here saying crazy shit on Twitter like, I think they're using this virus as an excuse to lock us down. Bitch, what you say?
What'd you say? So look, if you read a headline and then read the article that states FBI taking agents off of child sex trafficking in order to look into J6.
Off of financial crime, off of terrorists.
Tell them, right? So if you read that and it doesn't make you go, that's really strange.
Yeah, that sounds like an overreach.
A huge overreach, right? And you're like, okay, maybe they're just being hyperbolic about
it. It's
like,
Pachingo, they almost took over the government, bro. When they went in there with their buffalo hats and their zip ties, they were going to take over the government. One of them said, where's Nancy, bro?
Where are her jugs at, bro?
He had a hammer, bro.
Where are the heavies? Where are the heavies at?
He was trying to hammer some shit.
And she had the heavies that needed a hammer, you know?
So look, man, to rewind a little bit. Can you imagine? When Elon first bought Twitter, he's looking under the hood. Can you imagine once he starts to stumble across stuff? And now, he imagine Elon calling over like Matt Taibbi. Come on over to, when you're in Texas or whatever. Like, I'm going to send a jet. I can't do a South.
He's a hard. I
can't do
a hard,
South African accent, but he's like.
I think it's a cyborg.
I'm going to send a jet. Okay. And he's like. It's like you just see the index cards with the yarn connecting everything. Like, all right, so this is Yoel Roth.
Right.
Right.
Like Always Sunny style.
Yeah, because think about it, bro. They could have imagined they had to somehow organize all this information. How much time did it take to be like, all right, it's like a track list. All right, Twitter 6 is going to be about this. You can't, and then Twitter 7 got to be about this. And then we're going to tell them about Baker. I forget Baker's first name.
Mike.
That's Twitter 3 or whatever. Twitter 2 is showing this. Twitter 1. And it's like, how did you take this? How did you synthesize? Think about how much information. You're like having to read Slack communication, internal messages, emails. How many fucking emails you got to read? I mean, obviously, you want to go to upper management, right? All right, what did Jack know? Read all Jack. You in charge of Jack. But it's like a team of people. Like, scan it. Like it's like a legal case in a way. Well, like I just bought this fucking crime scene.
So you know we're going through a lot of stuff, right? We're talking about Twitter, the FBI, all the intelligence, the things that we don't know. And
hard
drive from hell. And then it can't help me, but like as you were talking, I was like, okay, let me just put this to you and tell me what you think about it. I don't even know if this audio is queued up right because last week it was not. So let me double check it. All right, what do you think of now when you hear this video?
We have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
I think what he was, I'm assuming,
yeah.
If he read that off the teleprompter, and maybe he missed a word or something, like maybe what he was trying to say, we put the biggest team that's going to look into voter fraud because, you know, Trump and them, the Republicans, they want to, like, I need to see context. Like, if he was just talking for 10 minutes about how Republicans don't want black people to vote because they want to see ID and the way they zone stuff and the way they look down on ballot harvesting, they try to push back and then that gets called gerrymandering or whatever. And so if he was ranting for 10 minutes about these racist old white men,
and that he definitely is not.
That
one
he
of.
Is not. Don't. Okay,
don't get it twisted.
Don't go there. He's Democrat, dog. Come on. Leave him alone.
Okay.
You know, he's Aviator Joe. He's a middle class Joe.
He's Corvette Joe.
He's Scranton Joe. Corvette Joe. Get in.
Get in, you
get
son
in,
of
fat.
A bitch.
Get in, fat.
Fat. Get in.
All right. So if he was ranting about that, and then he goes on to say, and that's why we put together the most extensive voter fraud organization.
Listen, fat. You're wrong. You're wrong, and I'll tell you why you're wrong. This was in 2019. When was this? It says 2020. So I guess, yeah, before elections actually took place, right? Before people casted their vote. Did he just have a, you know, Freudian slip where he was thinking something and said something else, and he just had to keep going with it because he didn't want to, like, acknowledge it.
I mean, I'm not a mind reader, and I would like to see context, because what I would hate to happen is this. Like, just based on, because right now we have this illusion of two parties. We all know it's a unit party. It's a purple party.
Yeah.
Like, they behind the scenes, not all of them. Like, I like MTG and, like, the America First type of people. I like Carrie Lake. I was excited to see her win the governorship. And so I'm not saying they're all the same. But what I want, what I don't want to happen is that just based on values alone, let's just say that the voting Republican is going to just be a little bit better for you, either for your wallet or a little bit safer for your country, or maybe depending on which type of Republican, because they're not all the same.
Right.
But like, if it was Trumpitas, you know, he probably would have brought down, you know, inflation and unemployment.
Well, so to go back then, Trumpitas, we talked about the NFTs. I look up how much money he made exactly. But when you see how many people came out, I mean, I get it that it's people's jobs, for instance, whether you're Ben Shapiro or whoever, whether you're on the right or left.
They were shitting on him already?
To just go ham on. I mean, yeah.
They're trying to get on DeSantis' train, huh?
I think they've been pretty hard on the DeSantis train regardless, especially with the whole Daily Wire crew being in Florida now. I don't know if that had everything to do with it, but it had something to do with it. But anybody, like, anybody who's anybody and has a platform will just jump at the opportunity to shit on Trump and the potential for him to ever win again. I, on the other hand, I always just kind of like, take a step back, let's look at it all, and let's, like, let's analyze, like, NFTs. Yeah, sure, they're kind of, like, on the way out. I mean, they had, like, there was a flash in the pan, but there are people that obviously still want it, right? Maybe it has access to something in the future. It's also, he's announced, so it's kind of like campaign financing in a sense, right? Because he's raising money for the campaign or for him or for whatever the fuck it is. So, like, why else did he do this? Like, what outlets is he trying to exhaust as far as, like, raising awareness for the campaign presidency, for money?
Probably going
to
be a legal fund.
Yeah.
You got these people on his ass every day.
Yeah.
From the minute he wakes up, boy. So,
because somebody said, like, the NFT drop made it seem like he's finding a way to make money just to then bounce into the shadows and, like, not run again and, like, not really make an effort. And I'm like, okay.
Has he announced that he's running?
Yeah, we saw it. Okay. He did it at Mar-a-Lago, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so he's in. He's doing it. But that's still, I mean, the bid, to put the bid in and then to actually start campaigning, which is going to be at least another year minimum away. What's going to happen between now and then, right? So to say that, like, yeah, he's just kind of going to sail off into the sunset, make his money, you know, and just raise it from his fans, super fans, and then we're left with DeSantis and whoever else runs on the, on this side. I can see that as a possibility.
That's a lot of speculation.
But man. I just don't, I can see it, because anything's possible or plausible, but I don't really, I think his character arc, his part of the movie, of this novella, is not complete.
I mean.
But that's just me.
At this point, no, I feel you. At this point, man, you got to really want to, like, save the country. Mm-hmm. Like, when people, you know, like, my dad will be like, no, mijo, then do you do all that political stuff at your shows or, like, or whatever, right? Because I'm trying to tell him, like, man, they got a Satan after school club, bro.
You told him that?
Yeah, I'm telling him, like, they're confusing these kids about trans ideology because they're shoving it, like, all in the curriculum. A lot of these teachers got agendas. And then when they're confused about it, then the parent has to be all in and supportive with gender-affirming mutilation. You know, I don't even know if I could tweet that or whatever, right? Somebody, it's just one of those things where, like, I guess the point I'm trying to make, I have no idea why I just went down that whole fucking offshoot path.
Well, we're talking about, you know, we're talking about the government and kids and, like, what they're trying to do, especially
well, you were saying Satanic Club. Well, yeah, you were saying, like, is Trump selling the NFT to bounce into the shadow? And what I was going to say is this. Obviously, like, he didn't really have, I mean, some people would be like, well, he wanted power. Because it's like, well, he already had the money.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, you almost have to, it's like that Steve Bannon speech where he's like, you got to think about your mission in life. Like, if you want this country to be saved, it will be saved.
Right.
And it's like, how risky is it to be a Mexican-American entertainer who decides to be like, hey, man, some of this stuff on the left is kind of wacky. And I know the right sure as hell ain't perfect by far. It's a whole laundry list of things, including, hey, Trump, start having better people around you, right? We don't want to see, like, you know, hey, I know a lot of them backstabbers. Some of them lie. Some of them are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, we don't want to
We need a better job of, like, hey, bro, next time you get your little Fauci in there that's talking stupid, mándalo la chingada, güey. But anyway,
or like, hey, they didn't let him pardon Assange. They didn't let him pardon Snowden.
Right.
And those types of things. But he's obviously on the finger to the pulse of what people want to see. Like the Digital Bill of Rights, unfortunately, was overshadowed by some distraction of like, is it a Trump card? Is it 4D chess? Why did he drop an NFT? Why was that his announcement? Like the timing. And then you gave Ben Shapiro and them a little bit of access to fucking run controlled opposition type shit.
And when you think about what they did with Twitter too, you can't help but wonder how much influence they had with Meta altogether and all the other platforms, YouTube, Google. Yeah. Like, it's not just Twitter. If this is what we've already known in the last 3 weeks or so of Twitter, how much do you think deep state, behind the scenes, things are happening at all the other platforms? And how angry does that make most voters, right?
Yeah, and then you decide to have a political podcast,
yeah,
where you're having to chime in, mm-hmm, about things that could arguably be labeled medical misinformation.
Yeah.
Just because,
or just
we haven't seen any doctors on Twitter say what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, because y'all done kicked them off.
Facts.
And it's like, the minute Joe Rogan starts to interview doctors, all of a sudden, he's a pariah.
He's the enemy.
He's a dumb meathead who turned green because he was eating horse paste. And he's racist on top of that.
Yeah.
That's the opinion they were assigning people.
I'm going to shift over to this clip that I wanted you to watch. We were talking about, Chingo's over here before the show doing like overhead presses, get some curls, got to get the blood flowing. I like that, right? Mm-hmm. And Juan and I were talking about just like Americans being on the soft side. Things are easy. We're comfortable, right? We were talking about like military recruitment earlier before you got here. So do you have any takes on like just the way that the country, as far as men and the whole male toxic, male, what is it? The fucking?
Yeah. Yeah. Toxic machismo. And
toxic masculinity. Yes. That
that needs to be Theo Huva's mixtape. Toxic really, machismo.
Dude. That's a good idea.
But that could be a t-shirt too. We need a graphic designer. It's going to be Theo Huva and it's going to say toxic machismo. Bring back. I'm bringing toxic machismo back.
That's not a bad idea.
That would not be one of the tracks. Don't worry, yo.
Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah. So, oh man, that could be a whole podcast, bro.
That should be the kickoff for Thursday's episode, honestly. But I do want to show you this clip and we'll go out on this clip because I was watching the UFC over the weekend. The last card of the year was, Cannonier versus this gentleman right here, Sean Strickland. And it was just so funny. Like, this was kind of fitting for the conversation we were having a little bit earlier, and I wanted to get your take on it. So let's shift it over. Unmute it, because Instagram loves to mute everything from the jump.
Modern fucking MMA pussies, dude. I don't know what the fuck happens. How many fucking Americans are you see fucking kicking ass? You don't see many. You see a lot of these foreign motherfuckers that are like, wrestling fucking bears, dude. America's just fucking soft, dude.
And I know the word controversial gets swung around a lot. They've called you the most controversial fighter. I just think you're very misunderstood.
Have you ever fantasized about taking someone's life? It's that primitive side of you that you want to fucking kill someone. I mean, I've done it in fucking sparring to where a guy walks in and I tell him, like, I know from your record that I could fucking do whatever I want to you. I could shorten your life. I could fucking kill you.
Oh, he let him know like that.
Yeah, and it's kind of
yeah,
I'll end your life. But it's an overarching message, right? Tim Kennedy's talked about it, whether it's David Goggins, whether whoever it is, that it's not good to have these like desires for low T, right? Low T's point. We kind of talked about that. And yeah, it's just concerning. I was telling Juan when we were talking about it all, like, it's hard sometimes to like make light and silliness of the subjects like that, because if you're looking at the trajectory of the country and you have a wife and kids, you want to feel comfortable where it's going. Right path, wrong path, right? Going back to that. And it just feels like a ton of people don't have the aspiration, not even for themselves, but to make sure that this machine of a country continues in like the right direction.
Okay, have you seen Yellowstone 1883?
No.
All right, so it's one of the origin stories, like a prequel.
Okay.
It has Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, and a bunch of other people.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yellowstone 1983.
1883. 1883. Yeah, motherfucker. God damn, 83. Golly. Where would I have heard Rob Bass?
I stand by that.
Your older siblings, they didn't jam none of that.
They
shit?
Do. I mean, when I was in San Marcos, my brother the whole time. He's a huge hip hop head, which I am too. But just not like, I just don't get it. Like, he was playing what was the group with like Faith Hill and
Faith Hill?
Was it Faith Hill or Faith no? Lauren Hill. Lauren Hill.
Lord have mercy.
What's
Lord
the
have Fugees?
Fugees. There you go. And I'm like, yeah, this is great. I just never found myself going and listening to it. I guess it never resonated with
you
me.
You were younger, bro. Like,
my brother's 45.
Yeah, you were younger. So I was in high school in New Jersey while this rap group from New Jersey. Yeah,
imagine the impact.
Had just dropped. And we're like, they're from up the street. Yeah. They're from like, from there, from that town. They might have been like an hour max from the prep school.
Who was in that?
Fugees, Praz, Lauryn Hill, White Club.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. Sorry, that's what we're talking about. But no, yeah, 1983 or 18.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Anyway, the fucking TV show is 1883. Now, the reason I bring it up is because this is during the time that the Comanches controlled the center of the country, right? When people were trying to expand westward, either for the gold rush or some type of better life. Mm-hmm. And Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, they have a little family. I guess she's like a teenage, she's like a young lady, I guess 18, mm-hmm. right? Because she ends up having her whole love story. She fucking falls in love with a Comanche and all this other shit. Spoiler alert. Anyway, it's the origin story to Yellowstone, right? So it kind of tells the story of how maybe the characters from Yellowstone, like their antepasados, like generations prior uh-huh. when they first made it to Montana. How did that happen?
That sounds cool. So
it's rough times. Mm-hmm. It's like... somebody goes to like pop a squat in the woods and they're like, where are you going? To dream about indoor plumbing. And they're having to rough it out all the time. So the women, if they have kids and the husband gets shot by a Comanche or somebody, how the fuck she gonna make it? So like, there's a character who like, she's like, I need a man. She's like throwing herself at dudes because it's like, I got kids. I'm out here trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it gets interesting because there's scenes where it's like, I made you some stew. It's like, where'd you get meat from? And it's like, I caught a rabbit and he's eating. He's like, what else? Rattlesnake. So basically, it's like, where'd you get meat from?
Yeah.
It ain't on with the HEB. What the fuck are you talking about? Since it was in the freezer and I thawed it out.
Yeah.
Right? It's where the fuck you get protein? And I told my wife, back then, protein was appreciated. They would pray for the bison, they'd rip the heart out, like the Comanches. Hunting, we're trying to move this cattle. We need meat for these immigrants we're trying to transport to Oregon, right? So it's like meat is a major issue when you're trying to have some fucking nutrients. Now in modern day times, people trying to do away, they trying to have as little meat as possible. They're like, oh, and it's good for you. Like, dude, Marisol had a pop up. Shout out to her apparel. Shout out to everybody who went to the Post and was shopping. We need a change, right? She's like, oh shit, I need petty cash, right? She's like, here, go spend this, go break this up so I can have some change. And I seen some big ass chocolate chip cookies, like crazy homemade. These people had a booth and I was just ready to get the cookie and break the bill. And they're like, oh, and they're vegan too, so they're good for you. And you know, it ain't got all that bad stuff like butter and eggs.
Put that cookie right back down.
So I'm like,
what's in it?
Bro, they needed to stop. Like, they went past the sales point. Like, I already was going to buy a cookie.
Yeah.
You doing way too much back there, sir. He's like, oh, and it's good for you, too. You don't have to feel guilty because you didn't got all that bad. It got soy in it, you know.
You're losing the sale, man.
And I was like, no. I ended up fucking buying it anyway because it's like, bro, I already agreed. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's in my hand. I got the bill out.
And they weren't the only ones with them big-ass, fat-ass cookies.
Yeah.
Then, psh. The motherfucking sauce.
Chocolate chip?
Oh, they had everything, bro. They had like...
But what'd you get?
One that was... I think it was chocolate chip. But they had one that was like s'more, marshmallow, dark chocolate, this and milk chocolate. You know, it's like chunks, M&Ms.
Sweets like, around the holidays, bro? It's hard to say no.
And you know what, man? También los tamales and like... Maybe there's that genetic code in us to where... Your body knows, hey, bitch, it's winter. Mm. Like, it's like you're craving, you can't be, in my opinion. I mean, I'm sure like Sean, the trainer, he's probably like, what?
Yeah.
You think I do pan dulce, bro?
Right.
Just because.
It's cold outside? Yeah.
And it's like, no, we do.
Yeah.
Like, we definitely do. It's cold and rainy. Like, empanadas, the fucking marranito, las conchas.
¿De camote o de?
Espérate, güey. This motherfucker. Love bringing us some camote on a goddamn political podcast. So what I'm getting at is this. I believe those shows are popular because there's that visceral, super inner thing where like that connection, like seeing, you know, the horses and all this type of shit. But back then, bro, like it was hard times.
What's the equivalent of that today? What's the equivalent of that?
Of a shitty day?
Yeah.
Of like, back then it was like, fuck, Comanches or like cattle thieves. We got to go.
There's no me.
Dude, they had and one of the episodes started where you hear the voiceover and the lady saying like, death was always around the corner or whatever, right? Yeah. And you see someone going to like, a chick going to pop a squat. Dude, Marisol jumped out the bed, bro. Because the way they edit it, it's like they show different people. One of the wagon wheels falls off. Boom, you could have died like that.
Yeah.
You were helping push the wagon. The wagon could have fell on you. You could have died like that. Or they had one chick, she went to pop a squat in the woods, and then they kind of show like her butt a little bit. And then you see the rattlesnake, mm-hmm. and then somebody said, she's like, oh my fucking, I was not ready for that.
I can feel it just by watching the TV. Imagine how messy it was back then too. Like you said three times, like, you know, she went to go pop a squat. I couldn't help but think, like, how messy were things back then?
I mean, bro, Mexico. I mean,
that's true.
The ranchito, depending on how rural and how back in the day.
I had the outhouse at the very least.
Yeah, yeah. Outhouse. That's what I'm saying.
But
yeah, outhouse.
Cleanup wise though. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Messy.
I don't really know what all technology, but like there's a part of the story where they're having to transport some like German immigrants or something, and like one of them has smallpox. Hey, bitch, go find your little spot by the river to lay down to go die comfortably, but don't be spreading that shit.
Do you think that? And I guess we'll leave it with this. Do you think that we're, as a people, have to be stuck in this perpetual generational gap of information? Do you think that finally, like maybe because of what's happening with the internet right now, we're going to get to a point where we can decipher? Is it going to get easier or harder or easier to decipher real information versus fake information? One. That's question one.
Oh, my Lord. You'd be bundling up questions. Okay, go on.
Is it going to be easier or harder? That's the first question, though. Just do you think it'll be easier or harder to decipher information for our kids? So when our 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds are in their 20s and 30s, do you think they'll have...
I would say this. Depends on how they're educated and what schools they go to.
And that's what I was going to next, too, right? Like, my original question was going to be, like, are we stuck in this perpetual... Like, why is... You have to go through these parts of your life where you're so just oblivious to how things work. Is it, again, back to the parents, right?
Back and then to the school? Back to the meme about suicide, check up on your friends. When it's like Mac Miller, that was fentanyl. It was laced.
Right.
Who else was... A bad guy in a little coat.
Farley.
How did he die? Was that an overdose?
Yeah, drugs as well, yeah.
Was it accidental?
I don't know, honestly.
Okay, so we don't really know about that one. I forget who else. Brittany, it was a pill-related thing, the actress, Brittany.
Murphy.
Yeah, what happened with her? Was that accidental? Was that laced a black market pill?
She had the same trainer as Ye.
Mm-hmm. But do you remember how that happened?
I heard drugs.
But was it suicide?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so this whole little meme was very convenient for Big Pharma to be able to cover their tracks. In other words, teenage girl, this is a regular person, not celebrity.
Yeah.
Teenage girl, her mother dies. She gets sad. They take her to the doctor. They prescribe her. They put her on some shit. That has side effects. Then she kills herself. So was it... She got sad because her mom died, then she killed herself? Or that was a side effect? That was suicidal thoughts from a medicine that Big Pharma profited from. And they're able to just put out a meme saying, anybody could have it. Anybody could get it. Check up on your strong friend. It always says, I got it. I like jujitsu. I go to church. Like, I am hopeful. If anything happens to me, there was some shenanigans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You have a way with words, Shingo Bling.
I don't know.
You got a way with words, dog. From a meme to this fucking message to the people, it's pretty damn good.
How can I profit off that skill?
You're doing it. You're doing it. Yeah, man. So if you want bonus content, this is the last week of the year, is it not? Let me look at the date real quick. Yeah, this is going to drop on the... No, next week will be the last week. It's the week before...
And I think these might be on the new website.
Yes, yes. The new website is dropping. By this time next week, it will already have launched. But you know what? I want to end with this because this is the public episode. Crowder, I was telling Chingo yesterday, is leaving the Blaze. And I've been watching closely because I watch Crowder often, more than any other commentator. And he's leaving the Blaze to go basically either find a new home. Who knows what that'll be? How crazy if it's like the Daily Wire, right? Or if it's a Rumble exclusive or a Spotify or whatever it is. He's trying to find a new home, or he's going to build out his own network like the Daily Wire or the Blaze, right? The problem was that I heard is that the Blaze isn't giving him the info of his fans, of his listeners. I said 300 million yesterday. I meant 300,000.
Yeah, you kept saying 300 million.
I know. As I left, I was like, why the hell did I say million? So 300, at the minimum, 300,000 subscribers to Mug Club or the show altogether. He doesn't have that information, right? For as long as I've said anything about business or marketing, like, you want to try to attain your fans' numbers and emails just to be able to touch base and sell them the services or products that they want from you.
Mike Lindell was making 10 to 15 grand a day with his text marketing, and then Verizon took it away.
Case in point. So back in the day, they called it the Google slap. So about 10 years ago, Google were slapping entrepreneurs when it came to their AdSense account and their marketing account. And then the big Facebook slap started happening where all the Facebook ads and the algorithm were changing. And to this day, you can just have your Facebook ad account just completely just wiped because they want to. Kind of similar to like your Twitter account getting wiped. They don't give you an excuse. They just get rid of it. If you have their information, if you have that email list or the phone list, like, you're better off, you know, setting up your shop again or over or anew somewhere else if you have that info. So chingobling.com is where you can just sign up for the newsletter. If you're not subscribed to any part of the Patreon or anything else or Rockfin or nothing, just go put in the email so that you know when shows are going up live, when merch is going up, when new episodes of the show or anything else is happening, because otherwise you're beholden to big tech again. And it's crazy that Crowder, being the biggest political commentator, doesn't have his email list. That blew my mind. Like, that is unfortunate.
And he partnered with people that wouldn't share that information.
Exactly. Partner. I mean, this is talking about Glenn Beck. We're talking about this other conservative platform. So I know business is business, but at the same time, like, you have to be able to protect your ass.
Yeah, some hoe-ass shit.
Hoe-ass shit.
They're like, we don't want no competition.
Yeah. So again, until there's a mutual, there was supposed to be a mutual, like, announcement of all this, but it wasn't. It was just Crowder and Mug Club. So I'm interested in seeing or reading in the future why that was. Like, why did you withhold that from them? Yeah, but till then, chingobling.com.
First show, I love that. Yes, please, give us your email.
Yeah, at the very least. I'm not even asking for your number, but if you want to give it to us as well, go ahead.
We won't spam you. And we got to make them emails good so you can open them.
Yeah.
So thank you, guys. Y'all be good. Peace.